This week on the Full Tilt Devi podcast, we will be saying goodbye to our viewers here and announce what is coming up next, though, so you can still get all the great Devi content that you've been used to seeing from us. But we'll tell you where else to find it. Also, we have our Malachi Nelson jersey giveaway winner, and we're going to be talking who's going to be replacing some of these big name prospects who are already declared for 2024 draft, and see who you should be investing in. So let's get started. Welcome in. How is it going, guys? The three best beards in fantasy back again for one final ride through Devi content. And while we are definitely sad to say goodbye, we still have awesome content to go over today. Andy, you have drawn up a killer show sheet whenever we're this deep into spring practice. And like I said during the intro, we have our jersey giveaway winner. That's going to be announced shortly, but first, John, Andy, how are you all doing on this wonderful Wednesday night?
Doing awesome. Obviously, it's kind of a bittersweet podcast. You know, we'll get into all the details a little bit later on, but unfortunately, this will be the last Full Tilt Devi podcast, unless something crazy happens in the future. But for now, you know, you never say never, but for now, we'll go ahead and say never. And, it's going to be a fun one. We still have a lot of good info here. And then, like I said, we'll get into the gritty details a little bit later on.
Yeah, we're still going to have enjoy the last show here. It's going to be fun to give away the jersey. And Lucas, by the way, congratulations on the wedding since the last time we were all together. So good to have you back. You missed a freshman show where I was outclassed and outmanned by everyone else here. But I think I held my own kind of okay, but it was ugly, I will say, on my own behalf for me.
Dang. That is right. Yes, I am now officially married. So all of these DMs that we get all the time about how good looking everybody on the show is, specifically me, you need to take that to some other show. We still appreciate the compliments, but
you can still send them to me. Like, it doesn't ever hurt the ego. You know, it's fine.
Fair enough. So going to get out of the way early. The winner of our Malachi Nelson signed jersey giveaway is Mr. Brandon Banks at BrandonBanks3609 on YouTube. If you are watching this, please go DM us either on YouTube, go DM us on Twitter or X, and then we will figure out how to get that jersey away to you, get the shipping details. All of that's going to be covered by us. And I think that that's a great way to kick it off. We're going to be giving something away. So congratulations, Brandon. Please, if you don't get back to us, it might end up on my wall. I just have to find space in here. But hopefully I won't have to do that, because that is a lot more movement and work on me than just shipping something. So Brandon Banks, I will see if I can figure out how to reach out to you. Or please just, watch the show like you have been doing because you're subscribed, and we will figure that out. So congratulations. Talking about what we have coming up on the show, though, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about prospects who have already declared for 2024 draft. Who's the most likely replacement for their production? And then what are their prospects going into future draft classes? Plus, fortunately, we have a little bit of injury news we need to take care of from the spring training camp so far. And then at the end, like I said, we will tell you where to find more great Devi content from here on out. So first piece of news is Jalen Hale. I have no idea if I'm saying his last name right, but I'm going to go with it. The wide receiver for Alabama appears to have suffered a torn ACL or some sort of significant knee injury during spring camp. So looking, who's going to be the wide receiver who's going to step up in this class? Andy, I'll throw it to you first.
Yeah, I can't tell if you're kidding, because Hale seems like a pretty one to pronounce. Maybe you're just making fun of John because he gave you some shit the last time.
I'm looking at, so one, apparently I
Jalen Hale.
Hale, it's actually Hale, Lucas. It's pretty obvious.
Oh my goodness. Well, apparently I'm hallucinating player names the more that I mention them. So I'm trying to lock it in early how you say it. And it took everything in me not to say Hall. And I don't know why.
That would have been awesome if you did.
Man, we were so close to greatness.
No, nothing against Jalen Hale. All right. I'm sure that this probably doesn't happen to him a lot. Nothing against the player, but yeah, I'm already struggling. That's unfortunate.
His name follows pretty basic English grammar rules, but so to the point of the matter, the extent of the injury, what we know is they're calling it a quote unquote serious knee injury. So he's definitely going to be out for the remainder of the spring. We also know that he was at a hospital at one point in time. So, you know, you could presumably say that he probably had surgery. To me, it sounds like a knee injury that puts him out at least 8 months, basically the entire season when you stretch it out throughout the calendar here. Huge disappointment for me personally, because I think he was the most likely candidate to fill the Roma Dunze-like role in the Kalen DeBoer offense. He was a highly rated recruit, five-star guy. He wasn't a year 1-0, which I know we hate to see that. He did have 158 yards receiving last year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but just getting any minimal production as a freshman is what you want to see. And I think he's a prospect that maybe a lot of guys weren't as excited about. When you think of the sophomores, you obviously have Zachariah Branch, Carnell Tate, and Jonte Cooker, guys that are kind of the top sophomores this season. So I do think it is a disappointing loss from a Devy perspective. As far as who it opens the door for, you know, you've got Jeremy Bernard, who's coming in from Washington, but I think he's always been more of a slot receiver, which Bama already has that, and Kobe Prentice. One name, and this is a shot in the dark that, you know, is probably stupid, but it's a name that I'm going to be keeping an eye on throughout next week on the spring practices, is Emmanuel Henderson, who a lot of us probably remember as the top running back recruit in 2022. But he's undersized, ended up transitioning to wide receiver relatively quickly once getting to Alabama. The only stat he registered last year was a kick return for 8 yards. So like I said, it's a bit of a long shot. But he obviously has the athleticism given his recruiting pedigree, super low cost investment. So with a potential huge payout. So that's a guy that I would keep an eye out on. Obviously, you know, Kendrick Law and Kobe Prentice are the guys that are still going to be there for Alabama, who we're expecting, you know, some big production out of them as well.
Yeah, I think there's really no proven talent there. Even Jalen Hale wasn't proven, or I'm sorry, Hale was not honestly proven, but he did flash. You know, he had some huge plays and he showed the athleticism. We obviously expected him to take the next step forward. I have to wonder if Ryan Williams, the high-end prospect coming in, is going to actually get a chance to step on the field, which is not something we would normally say for a true freshman, especially one that reclassified going to Alabama. But this isn't your normal Alabama wide receiver room. The past couple of years hasn't been your normal Alabama wide receiver room. They've been like searching and looking for anyone that can actually catch a ball. And, it hasn't been pretty. I'm not the biggest Jeremy Bernard fan. I know a lot of people are getting excited about him. Maybe this will be beneficial for him. Maybe he'll be able to take a step forward because he'll be the guy with the most production in his profile. But I don't truly believe in him as a player. So for Devy purposes, like, I don't think that all of a sudden Jeremy Bernard's going to be this amazing player. I don't think that's going to happen. So I really wonder if it's going to be Ryan Williams that ends up benefiting at some point. Maybe it's not week one or whatever, but at some point in the season, if it ends up being an ACL or a full season long. Because right now we don't have true confirmation that he's out. All we know is he's out indefinitely, but it's April, you know, indefinitely could mean 5 months, whatever, you know, and he's fine by the time the season comes around. I guess we can assume he's probably going to be out longer than that, but Unfortunately, we just don't truly know. But yeah, I don't really want to bank on Kobe Prentice. I don't want to bank on Kendrick Law. If anything, I'm not to say that you can even push Ryan Williams up any higher, because he was already going extremely high in drafts and everything. But yeah, maybe you can almost guarantee that he's not a year 1-0 at the very least.
I would agree with that. Does it make you more concerned about Jalen Milroe, or were we going in already expecting most of his value to come from what he can do on the ground? I know everybody's a little concerned with how Kalen DeBoer is going to implement that offense, what that is going to mean specifically for his rushing production. We saw Michael Penix Jr. have rushing production early on, and then that kind of transitioned away the more that he was in that system. So how do you feel about Milroe now?
I think his you know, his skill that we all love to see is obviously the running ability. And to me, I know that DeBoer, you know, has his offense that he's bringing over from Washington, but he also needs to work with what he's got at Alabama this first season. So, you know, I know a lot of people are hoping that you're going to see three wide receivers over 1,000 yards, a la what we saw in Washington, but it's just not going to happen. You know, they're going to use Jalen Milroe on the ground because that's where his strength is. So overall, I don't think it really affects Milroe because I think he was just going to do what he's going to do regardless. And maybe like the Hale injury for Alabama as a team in general is kind of minimal because of what Milroe is. You know, they're not going to be asking him to make a lot of plays through the air. So that's kind of how I feel about it. It's Alabama, so historically we just love to see these big top-tier first-round NFL draft wide receivers, and we haven't had that for a few years now, which I think has been frustrating for us Devy folks. But, you know, maybe that's just what we're going to have to live with until DeBoer can really get his system on the tracks there.
Yeah, and I actually kind of lied. I know I wasn't excited. Beth wasn't excited about Kobe Prentice in year one. He didn't really do that much. He caught a lot of balls, if I remember correctly, but it was all like little dinks and dunks and like no big plays or anything like that. This past year, he actually had a lot more big plays. He just was the fourth wide receiver on the team, like fourth leading wide receiver on the team. But that being said, Beth has him higher than Jeremy Bernard. So maybe it will be Kobe Prentice. You know, like I said, he's showing a little more big playability in year two than I thought he had coming out of year one. And so maybe that'll be it. I mean, it was a small sample. It was 18 receptions, but like maybe, you know, in year two. But, you know, maybe he'll be the one to take that step forward. I don't feel great about it. I mean, honestly, you know, you're going back to Jalen Milroe. What's up, Hollywood? You have to feel like things are going to be worse this year. And I was saying, just looking at the numbers for Milroe, that there was a chance that he could take a step forward this year. But man, they lost their top three receiving options in Kobe or in Jermaine Burton, Isaiah Bond, and Amari Nyblack. They're gone now. You know, Burton's in the NFL, and Bond and Nyblack went over to Texas. Like they're gone. And now you have Jeremy Bernard and Kobe Prentice like stepping up. You almost have to hope that Ryan Williams is ready to take a step forward if it wasn't for, you know, if Hale isn't going to be there. So yeah, if Hale's gone, I think it's going to be really difficult for Milroe to do even what he did last year.
I couldn't agree with you all more. I think you are absolutely crushing it. More injury news, though, coming out of spring practices. Cam Seldon, the running back out of Tennessee, he has suffered a shoulder injury. He is out for the rest of spring practice, but reports are saying that he is going to be ready for the regular season. Was he ever going to be the running back two at Tennessee? And does the running back two role there actually provide value with Dylan Sampson really solidifying himself as the RB1?
I'll start this one off just because I'm the big Dylan Sampson guy. So of course I have to talk about him, but you know, I think we found out about Sampson because he was actually playing the third fiddle. You know, like he, in maybe not last year, but the year before, he was barely even touching the field, but we're seeing like why the hell is Jabari Small on the field? You know, like, but yet he was still getting touches. And so, you know, for whatever reason, Tennessee just wants to get four guys involved in the game to keep them healthy, whatever. But even with that, you know, Cam Seldon only got 25 touches last year, you know, like that. And those 25 touches were not great by any means, averaging 4.2 yards per carry. He was supposed to be this big athletic guy, and it didn't really show up in that small sample. Now you add in a shoulder injury. One of the injuries, like, we don't call people injury prone or anything like that, you know, but one of the injuries that can recur often or does recur often are shoulder injuries, because it's just one of those things where it's a weak tendon, ligament, whatever the hell it is. It's a weak area of the body, and you're taking a repeated beating on it. And next thing you know, you get re-injured, and then you have, the only thing that can help is rest, or the only thing that can help is surgery. One of the two. He's already doing the surgery now, but then there's no guarantee that when he comes back, if he comes back this year, I'm assuming he'll probably be back at some point this year, probably maybe even before the season starts, but there's just no guarantee that he won't just re-injure it at some point. And to answer your question, I think, yes, he would be the RB2, but it's not because of talent per se. There's not too much else on the team. And I mean, if anything, I always said, like, Dylan Sampson's going to be in a timeshare and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, it's starting to look like he's going to get his shot to show that he can actually be a workhorse back, or if he can be a workhorse back.
I mean, so Heupels already came out and said that Seldon will be ready for the start of the season. They were doing the surgery to help speed along his recovery, and everything else is going to be precautionary stuff to make sure he doesn't re-aggravate that. Whenever we were first talking about Cam Seldon early on last year, actually about the same time last year, because he's 6'2", 225, was a track star in high school, like, just big man, run fast. We were discussing whether or not his future, or the future we're most excited about, is going to be in the backfield or out as a wide receiver. I've been on record several times saying I prefer him as a wide receiver. That's where I would like to see him be. And we'll see. I know that their wide receiver room is much deeper than their running back room, so I think a lot of that's still just necessity, and that's why he's there. They also have another really good recruit coming in. I'm try and make sure I find his name, because I don't want to say other wrong names, since that is now what I'm becoming known for. Peyton Lewis. I almost said Dylan Lewis, but I knew that was wrong. I have no idea where I got Dylan from. But Peyton Lewis, another really talented running back coming in from the 2024 recruiting class, but he's also injured throughout spring practice, so this is going to be fun. But like during the bowl, we saw that they heavily used him for trying to get those tough grinding yards through Dylan Sampson, and to try to run their explosive offense through him. I don't know how much of it's just a freshman adjusting to the college level, whenever he's had, I think you said, 25 carries so far, versus is he actually going to be effective there? I don't know. We're still, I think, going to be betting on the athleticism that he has, whatever position he ends up being. But yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit more skeptical. Andy, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, kind of just echoing a lot of what John said, like, we know that he's going to be behind Sampson. Maybe there was some hope that they're going to kind of run a three-headed monster this year. I think they maybe wanted to do that. I think they do have high hopes for Khalifa Keith as well, who's the other, I think there's only four scholarship running backs on this roster right now, which is kind of scary considering two of them are hurt. But, you know, John said Seldon only logged 25 carries last year, never forced one missed tackle, didn't have any breakaway runs. Khalifa Keith, I think he had like 10 or 15 carries, same, like nothing exciting at all about either one of those guys. And the other thing that, you know, we mentioned Seldon, you know, he could kind of play either one of those positions. He shows up to camp this year, and from what the reports were saying, he looked absolutely massive. So I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's obviously, you know, that seems like he's leaning into the running back role. But maybe that, you know, extra workout does lead to a higher injury risk. I don't know. I can only speculate there. I don't want to. We're definitely not the Fantasy Doctors podcast or anything like that. But like you were saying last year, big man run fast. He was like a sexy Devy pick because of the athleticism and the offense he was joining.
He went way too high last year. I mean, for a guy that wasn't really even guaranteed to be a running back or anything, I mean, he went so high.
Right. And I think we're kind of now understanding. I mean, I don't have any Cam Seldon. I think I was staying away just based on what the recruiting services were telling us. He wasn't like this five-star guy or anything. He was just a big guy who ran fast. And maybe they're kind of we're trying to catch lightning in a bottle like what happened with Braylon Allen. It kind of worked in that situation. But, you know, at this point, from what I'm seeing and hearing, it really feels like it's just going to be mostly Dylan Sampson there all season. Just based on what we have to go on now.
I mean, the history of Tennessee's offense under Heupel has been they want three running backs. They desperately want that. Unfortunately, it meant a lot of last season they were forcing Jabari Small probably into a role that he's not best suited for, which hurt them. But I think a lot of that's still because Dylan Sampson hasn't truly blossomed into that lead back yet. Maybe he can do that throughout the spring and really show that he can play in all aspects of the game. But so far, they've really limited him from being the grinding workhorse back. Hopefully that changes. I don't know if it actually will. And I don't think that any of us really had any expectations for Cam Seldon last season to come in and actually establish himself a role, which further lends to he was being way overdrafted. John, you've said many times whenever you're drafting freshmen, you want to draft players who can immediately get on the field so you can see what you have. He wasn't going to do that last season. He was playing at the lowest level of Virginia high school football whenever he was recruited. But it's just because, like I keep saying, big man run fast, and he's a very big man who runs really freaking fast. So we all want to see that untapped potential. You mentioned Braylon Allen. I mean, we can talk about any of these freak athletes who have been coming through recently. Like, everybody wants one of those on their teams. So we'll see how it's
big man run fast, but unfortunately he runs right into the defender, so it doesn't actually matter. He can't break any tackles. I'm with you. Obviously, we can't even say that Dylan Sampson's 100% proven either. But in a very important game for Tennessee, they gave him the rock 20 times, and he ran it against Iowa, the best defense in all of college. I mean, stop me if I'm wrong, but like the best defense in all of college, he ran it 20 times for 133 yards at a 6.7 clip. Now, he didn't have any receptions, but Joe Milton. Nico. That was Nico. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. But you know, the true freshman quarterback, you know, we can't make too many determinations from that. I mean, I believe he has a decent receiving profile, but I mean, against the best defense in college, he was a workhorse back and he was a stud. So, you know, like we give Nico a pass. Yeah, we give Nico a pass for like what he did in that game because the defense is so good. So if anything, I feel like we should be boosting Sampson up and saying, look at what he did against this team. And I mean, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it, but I don't know if anyone else will.
I mean, we all like Dylan Sampson. Just stating the facts, they haven't utilized him in every aspect of the game. They won't utilize him in short yardage situations, which fair enough, he's on the lighter side. I think he's not even listed over 200 pounds yet. I think 195 is on Tennessee website.
So yeah, I was gonna say I think I have him listed as like 193, maybe he's up to 195, you know, something around there.
Yeah, so that's just part of it, but he's definitely somebody who I'm willing to bet on. I think that he can carve out at least an elite niche role at the next level, which in this day and age of running backs, that's all we can really hope for. We're not going to see the every down guys who, like the jack of all trades guys, don't make it in the NFL anymore. It's the you have to be elite at something.
But Beth has Dylan Sampson in the same tier as Devin Neal, and I would assume that you could easily get Dylan Sampson plus for Devin Neal in a C2C league, in a Devy league, whatever. I might be willing to make that trade, especially now we have an injured Cam Seldon. I mean, they almost have to make him the workhorse back. We expect Nico I to be good, this team to be good. They brought in some quality receivers, you know, via recruiting, you know, via the portal, whatever. Like, I feel like the team is going to be good. Samson's going to be good. He's going to gain value. And by the end of the year, everyone has Samson ahead of Neil, except for you traded and got Samson Plus earlier in the year.
Gosh, Beth's going to make me blush.
That's right.
It's going to be good if that's true. Like, I like that projection. One last little bit of news so far from spring camps. Lane Kiffin coming out talking about the transfer portal. He always has some fun, interesting things to say. Unfortunately, he did not sing Rocky Top all night long after beating Florida, because he didn't beat Florida at Tennessee. But that's all right. It just hurts still to this day. But multiple transfers, he's calling it, in quotes, stupid. How do you feel about so many, like, multiple transfers that have happened in one single offseason? What does that mean for the sport?
Well, I'll go first. I mean, we've talked about, like, transfer portal, NIL, what it means for college football. I understand why the coaches are frustrated with it, because I imagine coaching in today's environment is 10 times harder than it was 5 years ago. But as far as ruining the sport or any, you know, calling it stupid, maybe it is stupid, because I do think that there are some kids who probably shouldn't be doing what they're doing in the transfer portal. But they're doing it just because it's there. I don't have the numbers in front of me, or I don't even know if they keep track of it, but I'm sure there's, you know, a large percentage of kids who jump in the transfer portal and never get recruited to go play college football again. So there is a downside to some of these players. And I think especially in college basketball, you're seeing it, like a guy who couldn't even, you know, not to get off topic too much, but a guy who can't even see the floor, he thinks he's going to go play somewhere else and just automatically be a starter. And you know, that I think that's happening in football too. So just allowing these transfers is good for the players in large part. But I do get where people are saying it's stupid, because a lot of times it can be detrimental to some of these players. And I think that they're, you know, it probably does put a bad taste in people's mouth when they see a guy transfer two times in an off season, or every year he's on a different team. It seems like, it's like, oh Jesus, this guy, you know, it just seems like he's, you know, wherever the wind blows, that's where he ends up. But it's good for the players, which, of course, 5-10 years ago, that's all we kept saying, is like, oh, well, these players should be paid. These players should have more control over their own careers. I do think, you know, maybe in the future, we're probably trending towards some sort of collective bargaining agreement or player contracts in college sports, which would hopefully even the scales as far as player and program control is concerned. But I get where Lane Kiffin's coming from, but overall, I think he can't get too mad at it.
Yeah, I hear you on that. The unfortunate thing is, like, there's no right way to have a college career anymore, whether, like, whatever sport it may be. Right now, NCAA tournament's going on. We saw SEC Player of the Year Dalton Knecht went from a junior college to a mid-major to then being SEC Player of the Year. I don't think that, one, nobody in the SEC was even giving him a chance whenever he was first coming out of college. And I mean, we saw what happened there. DJ Burns, another big name so far throughout the tournament, started at Tennessee, went to a mid-major so he could actually have playing time and try to develop that way, and then is now a starter at a major program. Like, I'm curious to see what positions are going to benefit the most from that, from the ability to actually be on the field and get live game reps, even if it's at a lower competition level, and then moving back up after getting those reps versus sitting behind people at these high major programs, being able to develop in what, I mean, everybody will agree, in much nicer conditions with much better resources. We'll see what ends up winning out. I don't think it's going to go to the college basketball model of transferring to get playing time and then moving back up after, but we'll see. And I'm also curious if the NFL is going to judge multi-time transfers harsher than people who have pink fingernails. We'll see. I don't know. Hopefully people will use their brains there, but I don't know. John, any last minute thoughts to wrap up our news and notes?
I don't have a lot to say about the transfer thing. I will say multiple transfers within one season does seem very stupid to me. Like that, I don't want to say allowed, not allowed, but I just don't think it should happen.
Fair enough. And just because it is our last show, you're going to get another intro. Hang tight, and then we will get into the meat of the episode, yes, which is the next men up.
I'm hyped.
I had to get it for you, man. So next man up, Andy, I thought that this was a perfect segment to do this deep into spring position battles. We have the NFL draft coming up very soon. Everybody's so hyped for that, but we're not really talking about who's going to start filling in for all of these folks. And you said it was inspired by an On3 article that you read earlier on about some of the extremely high-end prospects and who's going to be filling in those shoes. But you have a really good list, and I think that it's going to be even better for Devy Fantasy players about other prospects who are going pro and who's going to start filling their shoes. So I'll let you get started on which prospects you want to tackle first, because it's a really good list.
Well, I think I'll start with the top one because that's the one that kind of excites me the most. I've got Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson, the wide receivers from Florida State, who are going pro this year, obviously. And the guy that I keep seeing in spring reports as being the wide receiver one this year, by all accounts, is a guy that I really liked last year. Wasn't even on the team last year. He was on Alabama, and that's Malik Benson. It seems like he's going to be the wide receiver one for the Seminoles in 2024. Like I said, getting the most love from the press during the spring. And like I said, I was a big Malik guy last year when he went to Alabama from JUCO. I can't even remember what school he was at. It's like a JUCO powerhouse, like Hutchinson, I think it's called. But I may have been a year early on him because he did like nothing at Alabama last year, despite them having no wide receivers of record to name, but better to be early than late, I say. So it seems like Coach Norvell talked about him last week after their scrimmage. He caught a touchdown, singing his praises. So things are looking up for Malik Benson. And if I didn't have him virtually everywhere already, he would be a guy that I'm looking to buy. So again, I might be biased here, but I think that he is going to have a solid season this year. Unfortunately, it will be his fourth season where he has had basically zero production. Aside, he did have a 1,000-yard season as a true freshman in junior college, which I know that's not going to show up on the Pro Football Focus stat sheet or when you go and look at, the stat charts on campus to Canton. But it is a big season as a true freshman in, obviously lesser competition, but still college competition. So I don't know that we can just look at him and say he hasn't done anything until this year, assuming he does do something this year, because he was basically an All-American. He was an All-American as a JUCO player.
Fair enough. Another big transfer that they brought in is Jaylen Brown from LSU. So I'm a little surprised that that's not who you're going with, but I mean, it makes sense. Malik Benson can step in, fill that role. I feel like that they're really trying to lean on more experienced players to maintain their status as contending for a national championship. We'll see if DJU can get them to that point. But it'll definitely be interesting. And they have so much wide receiver talent that's just gone. So it might open up the door for several players to try to establish themselves. If you had to put an over-under on yards for Malik Benson this season, where are you setting it? If I said 850 yards, over or under?
Oh man, I would take, I'd have to go under, I think, just because DJU, I'm not sure he can support a 900 yard receiver, but I would be very pleased with that 850 yards. I think that's probably in the ballpark of where he does end up, so that was a good number to throw at me.
I would take the under and a broken phone. I would smash my phone accepting that that bet. I want nothing to do with Malik Benson. I knew you weren't the only one that was, you know, like all over him last year. Now I was not. I don't like the transfer ups. I just don't. Everyone loved who was it? Cam Ward when he transferred up from FCS to the help. I don't even remember.
And then they're Andy Pac-12.
Washington State.
Yeah. Pac-12. Whatever. Okay. So like, yeah. Everyone loved him, and I'm just like, you know what? But he's transferring up, major jump up in competition. Same thing with Malik Benson. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's amazing. It's like, yeah, it's a major jump up in competition. Now we're going to give him a pass for last year and say, oh, well, you know, he only had 130 yards or whatever the hell he had. Well, yeah, but he had a major jump up in competition. Okay, well, he's a senior now. You know, like what's magically changing this year? Okay, so let's say that Jalen Milroe and DJU are similar levels of passing quarterbacks. Let's just say that. What can we expect? 400 or 500 yards, maybe something like that. Honestly, Hakeem Williams has actually gotten quite a bit of hype this offseason, and maybe it's mostly just because of like he looks really good with his shirt off. But like, I swear, I've seen a lot of people hyping Hakeem Williams. I've read some articles saying like, you know, he just looks different, he's playing different, blah blah blah. Looks like he has taken that next step. I would much rather believe, even as unbelievable as it might be, I would much rather believe that Hakeem Williams is going to take that next step rather than the fourth-year player that didn't do a damn thing when they didn't really have too many good players at Alabama to really block him from getting on the field. So, I'm all out on Malik Benson. Malik Benson is Devi Beth's wide receiver 394. I'm just gonna put that out there.
Do you have his JUCO stats in Beth, or is she not smart enough for those yet?
not just yet. But it's just off of last year. But I'm out.
Dang, I think for Florida State that their ideal scenario is that Hakeem Williams takes that next step forward and really develops. I know that they would love to have somebody that they recruited and a five-star player actually be succeeding there, but we'll see. You do have another Florida State name listed here, and I think we'll just stick with that because there's a player that I'm more excited about potentially filling his shoes. Trey Benson looks like he's probably going to be the RB1, at least for fantasy purposes, coming out of this rookie class, just based off of what he did at the combine. I see you shaking your head over there. I don't think that the average dynasty player is going to be drafting Jonathan Brooks, just because, I don't know, nobody wants to draft somebody who's coming off a torn ACL. They might be drafting Braylon Allen. Yeah. They might be drafting Braylon Allen just because they are familiar with the name recognition, but I don't know. It's hard to diss 439 at 215 nowadays.
So. People didn't like drafting Breece Hall last year either.
True. All right. Fair enough. I can't argue with that, but Trey Benson, so they have to also replace production there. They have a couple of transfers coming in to fill that role, plus recruits. Florida State, obviously a very talented program. So who are you looking at right now? John, I'll start with you.
Not Roydell Williams, I can tell you that much. Get him the hell out of here. Couldn't hack it at Bama. I mean, I swear, I had people telling me for the past 2 years, 3 years, oh, it's Roydell Williams going to be the next one to step up and be the next guy at Bama. And I'm like, no, he's not. I don't ever want to bank on freshman players, especially true freshman players. But I tell you what, Cam Davis is interesting as hell. And I really do feel like there's no one holding him back. That's all I can truly say is there's no one holding him back. They obviously have something to prove after a very high end year that ended in controversy and everything else. Like they have something to prove this year that it wasn't just Jordan Travis. It wasn't just Trey Benson. It wasn't just Keon Coleman, whoever, you know, like, so they need to be able to kind of at least be back in the same realm. Maybe they don't, you know, like the ACC is not that good this year. So like they should probably go undefeated, I would assume, or, you know, or at least close to it. Maybe not. I don't know who they lost, you know, beyond like on defense and all that kind of stuff. That's not my game. So I'm not trying to act like I know what their team is going to look like, but I'm just saying there's no running back that is going to hold Cam Davis off the field. So he's one of the few that I would say, man, I feel pretty damn good about him busting out year one. And, you know, like I said, you can't say that about a lot of these guys.
Fair enough. Yeah, it kind of reminds me, you know, he obviously isn't, first of all, 1,000% agree on Cam Davis. There's nothing holding him back. It kind of reminds me of a couple of years ago when Jaden Ott, who wasn't like the top running back in the class, but just showed up to his, you know, a running system with nobody really in front of him. You know, there was guys in front of him that had production previously, but weren't really that great. And he just sort of took over immediately. Now, I'm not saying like the same player as Jaden Ott. I just feel like the situation is similar where you've got a team that likes to run the ball in the Jaden Norvell offense, and a guy who's getting, you know, everything you read about him. Trey Benson's already talking about Cam Davis and saying like this guy's the next guy for FSU. So he's gonna see the field right away this year. And I you know, he's gonna be better than Roydell Williams, who we've seen, I feel like, for the last 5 years. Keziah Holmes, who is the other guy on the team, is nothing to really get excited about anything. So if there's anyone on the team that you want to invest in right now, it's definitely Cam Davis. And I think for where he's going right now, and I can't remember, did we take him in our freshman draft, John, or no?
Oh, yeah. He had to have been early. I mean, he's my RB3. In my recruit rankings. So like if somebody else hadn't taken him in the first, I would have taken him in the first.
I do remember, now that you mentioned, I think somebody did take him. I don't know if he went in the first though. Maybe he did. We have to
maybe early second. Obviously I can't take every pick, but you know, like he had to have been early. I don't quite remember, but yeah, no, he definitely went for sure.
Right. Yeah. So, but he's definitely not going in like the top end of like freshman drafts. So when it comes to like Devy value, he's going to be, you know, one of the later, you know, he's not really a top 50 guy when it comes to Devy. Well, maybe top 50, but on the fringe there. So you're still getting value there. And I think that's where you kind of want to, you know, put your picks at if you have them. So he's a guy that I would look at investing in right now, just based on what I'm hearing from spring. And he's got the NFL size, and seems to have the endorsements of everyone that's important over there to FSU.
So the person I'm most excited for is Cam Davis. You all have been saying Cam Davis. Dear Lord, I'm losing my mind here. Is Jalen Lucas, the transfer from Indiana, just because of how fast he is. I think he's somebody who can make a lot of really explosive plays. I believe he's still 19 as a junior going in. So he's on the younger side for a junior, hasn't had the sustained workhorse role. And I don't think anybody's expecting that at 5'9", 175, but he's somebody who every time he touches the ball, he's affecting the game in a big way with just ridiculous speed. And if there's anyone who's going to do a Devin Achain impression, I think it'll be Jalen Lucas. Not expecting even 15 carries a game, but they might find a way to get him the ball, at least in his hands, 15 times a game, whether that's through kickoffs, punts, doing something in the screen game, but just somebody who's just ridiculously fast. And I don't know how many established playmakers are already on that team. I think he's somebody that they can lean on to generate some chunk plays for him.
My biggest concern with Lucas, beyond you just, you know, being a hype man for the name, is that he didn't have the big time run rate, you know, like especially with a small guy, like, you know, you look at like a Gavin Sawchuk or a Jaheim White or something like that, and they're sitting in like 13% big time run rate. And then you look at Jalen Lucas and he's at 6%. So you have an unathletic, unbursty, if that's a word, like small guy, like, yeah, I'm out.
I just see what he does with the ball in his hands on kickoff and punt return. So, like, we know that he's explosive. Like, he can break off these big plays. So how much of that is on Indiana not scheming correctly versus what he's doing. I don't know. I know that he can make big plays, and that's what I'm wanting to see.
I will say, like, I was a Jalen Lucas fan for like a week last year. It was the week that he got 10 catches. And then I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a PPR monster. And I think he never got more than 5 catches, and he had a couple days where he had 0 catches. And then, yeah, just being 175 pounds, if he's even that heavy,
is kind of a
turnoff. But go ahead.
He does have a nice receiving profile. I will give him that credit. But it kind of feels like, obviously, I want to say Dylan Sampson, but it's not Dylan Sampson. Who's the Dylan for Colorado?
Oh, son of a gun.
I can't think of his name now, but the running back named Dylan for Colorado, it kind of feels like that, like where he's not actually a running back, and he's super small. Yeah.
Edwards.
And he's Dylan Edwards. Thank you. Yes, that's right. So Dylan Edwards, it kind of feels the same thing. He's a small guy. He's not actually a running back, but he catches a decent amount of balls. And so, like, you're going to see him. It's 100% a C2C play. Like, he is not a Devy guy. Like, yeah. I can't get on board with like liking him for Devy, but maybe with the receptions and everything, maybe you can get on board with for C2C.
Maybe. Well, yeah. We shall definitely see. Moving on to a team that's going to be losing a just stupid number of receptions is the Washington wide receiver room. Losing their big three, losing their starting quarterback, losing their head coach, offensive coordinator. Just not a fun time up there, but it happens. It just means that you should have enjoyed it while they were still in college. But Roma Dunze, Jalen McMillan, oh my goodness, Jalen Polk. I'm going crazy tonight, guys. I apologize, but just losing all that talent in that wide receiver room, there's a lot of catches to replace. So who are we excited there, Andy?
Well, I know John at one point in his life was a big Jeremiah Hunter guy. I think if there's a name if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, tell me who the Washington receiver is going to be, and you have to come up with a name, I think you have to just say Jeremiah Hunter. And correct. I don't know that you should say that with any sort of conviction, but that's just kind of the state of the program right now. They got pieced apart by the transfer portal when DeBoer left. And then, you know, obviously they get Arizona's coach and they get some replacement there. But really they didn't get any sort of reinforcements aside from Hunter in the passing game. They still have Giles Jackson there, who is, you know, kind of a good slot piece, but not really anything to write home about. You know, and he's going into his sixth year as well. So from a Devy point of view, because I believe Jeremiah Hunter, this is his fifth season too. And he kind of took a step back after his third year where, you know, we kind of were excited for him last year. And then I don't know if I don't get into Jeremiah Hunter's whole profile, but I don't know if there was an injury concern or what was going on with him last year. But it seemed like he did take a little bit of a step back or just failed to take a step forward. And then obviously, you know, ends up in the transfer portal. So, like I said, if you're going to take somebody and, you know, this offense, this coach produces guys like Tet McMillan at Arizona. So there's opportunity for production. But I don't know if it's going to translate to like NFL production or talent, because I don't think anyone in the NFL is looking at these fifth and sixth year guys who haven't really done a ton and thinking, oh, they're going to be a top pick in 2025. But if you have to pick somebody, give me Jeremiah Hunter.
It has to be Hunter. And he had a true freshman throwing him the ball last year in Fernando Mendoza. And so, you know, like you have to assume as much as Jack Plummer is not a great quarterback. You have to assume that he's better than a true freshman, like 2-star recruit in Fernando Mendoza or whatever. Like, I'm not even hating on Mendoza, cause he did okay, but it wasn't great. It wasn't perfect. So yes, he did take a step back, but I mean, the entire offense took a step back. He still led the receivers by at least a couple hundred yards at the very least. He led them in touchdowns, led them in yardage, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not. Once you start getting a fifth year guys, I'm no longer like, oh my god, I gotta have Jeremiah Hunter for Devy purposes. But I feel like this is one of the few times where you can say we can kind of excuse away some of this stuff. And like, I want to keep him on radars. I'm not saying I'm excited about Jeremiah Hunter anymore, but he's got to at least be on radars.
Fair enough. And then just try and move along, hit some other names. The other running back that we were talking about earlier, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, who's going to be fitting into that massive workhorse role, or will it be a running back by committee approach?
I kind of hoping that it's running back by committee because I'm not really excited about any of them. But at the same time, like, it doesn't really matter. I feel like this is the first time since 2020 was a year where Wisconsin didn't have a running back that really mattered for Devy. Aside from that, like, you can go back 15 years, 20 years probably, and it seems like every running back at Wisconsin ended up being an NFL producer, or at least high draft pick at some point. 2020 was the COVID year, obviously. I think they had like Nakia Watson and I think Isaiah Garinado was on that team. And obviously he's getting some love now after the combine, which is funny. He was also on that Wisconsin team, which was just terrible. But he might end up being the best wide receiver running or Wisconsin running back on that 2020 team. But I think that we're dealing with that situation again, where there's just not anyone to be overly excited about. Obviously, Ches Malusi is the one that everyone's going to be talking about, just to drop a name. This is going to be his sixth season in college. He's been at Wisconsin for, I think this will be his fourth year, because he started the same year Braylon Allen did. Dealt with some injuries, never really that great as far as big time run rates or catching the ball out of the backfield. I do like Jackson Acker as more of like a receiving option. He kind of got recruited as an athlete, a big guy, run fast, kind of the same as Braylon Allen, that same recruiting class, not as fast as Braylon Allen, but he's more of a fullback than a running back. So I don't know that there's any sort of Devy potential there. But he's going to catch, I think, more balls than a guy like Ches Malusi. Honestly, though, like, when it comes down to it, you know, it just seems like now that they got Luke Fickell and Phil Longo there, maybe the days of Wisconsin running backs being this foolproof smash, you know, guaranteed NFL running back is just kind of behind us. We'll see. You know, they did bring in a four-star running back this year. Granted, he's a little bit undersized. I don't think anyone's getting too excited about that, but, you know, we'll see what happens, but I would just hesitate to consider the Wisconsin running back is like this, you know, holy grail of Devy positions like it used to be.
Are we considering Tawee Walker coming over from Oklahoma, or is he just kind of there as a break glass in case of emergency if Ches Malusi goes down again?
I'm not.
Fair enough. I think it's great that he was able to get some playing time over there at Oklahoma, but he didn't really
1% big time run rate. I am out.
That's the same thing with a fan. Jackson Acker's the same way. Like, he's
Jackson Acker's exactly the same. Ches Malusi's not that far off. I think he's at 4%. Honestly, like, I'm not normally the freshman guy. That's not me. I've written articles saying don't draft him, but here we are tonight, and I feel like I'm talking about all the freshmen, or like the freshmen that didn't quite produce or whatever. And Andy was talking about Dylan Jones, I'm assuming, a four-star prospect.
Yeah, and that's not the one that I think the one that I like is the, what's his name?
Darian Dupree. That's what I was going to say. Dylan Jones is actually a higher-ranked prospect, a four-star prospect, but he is 180 pounds. He is, 5'11", 180 pounds, at least listed on 247. Whereas Darian Dupree, however, is 5'10", 190 pounds. So, like, he's actually technically a worse prospect as or worse recruit or whatever you want to call it. But honestly, the more research I do, I found that the running back composite score doesn't matter nearly as much as the wide receiver. So, like, you know, I promised last year that I was going to dive more into this stuff and figure out who the hell should we draft, and I'm doing that this year. So I'm actually, you know, I'm actually a man of my word. I'm doing that this year, and I started looking into it, and I'm like, you know what? Like, the running backs, it could literally be anyone. You know, obviously, Quinshon Judkins was a three-star prospect last year, you know, and now he's – people have him as their RB1 in the class. Now, that's a little wild for me, but, you know, like, I get it. Like, he did produce. He looked good. He's in a great situation. I have the lower-end prospect in Darian Dupree over the higher-end prospect in Dylan Jones, A, because of size, but – you know, but also just because I feel like he actually might have a better chance of hitting. But I feel like one of them or both of them have a better shot of hitting the field just because that is like a barren wasteland in Wisconsin, which is not something we can normally say, especially, I mean, Andy can attest to that more than I can even.
I'll just interject and add one other thing. When you're looking at, this is something I do when I'm looking at freshman running backs, is you can look at their timeline of events on 247 and probably on 3 and see like who's offered them. And Dylan Jones, by what 247 is telling me, only had an offer from Wisconsin. And maybe they're missing stuff. I mean, you know, I don't know where their information's from. But if you look at the other guy, Darian Dupree, he has offers from Alabama, Michigan, Wisconsin. Basically every Power 5 conference wanted Darian Dupree on their team, and nobody is offering this Dylan Jones guy a scholarship. So I tend to trust the guys actually recruiting the players more so than I do these recruiting services. So when you look at the offer sheet, and that's kind of what got, if people remember Andrew Paul, I know he hasn't quite hit, but he had an offer sheet, you know, 2 pages long. When he went to Georgia as a 3-star, and that's what pushed him all the way up as high as it did. And I think that, you know, for Darian Dupree is a guy that could have a similar situation as the offseason rolls on. But you're absolutely right. Like Ches Malusi's shown that he's basically hurt every single year. Tawi Walker, he's a great guy to put on the field, but he's not going to do you anything. So they're itching for a playmaker at some point. So I think, you know, it could be Dupree or maybe Dylan Jones. Who knows?
And you don't have to draft these guys early, especially, you know, Dupree, whoever. But, like, you can get Darian Dupree probably in, like, the 15th round of your supplemental draft in a C2C league. You know, like, you – and in Debbie, of course, you're never taking them. But, yeah, like, these are the kind of guys that you throw into the end of a roster and you go, he has a shot. There's a lot of players that you even like. There's some Georgia players that I'm like, yeah, of course I would love to take the Georgia player, but they don't even have a shot. Like there's no chance of them ever seeing the field. You can say Darian Dupree actually has a chance of seeing the field and maybe even Dylan Jones. I'm not going to hate on the guy. I'm not going to say like, oh, he could never be whatever, but I do have Darian Dupree ahead of him.
Fair enough. And speaking of playmakers, probably I'm not going to say the most difficult room to replace because that's easily the Washington wide receiver room, but the second most difficult room to replace, Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers for LSU, record-breaking tandem for them. Both of them going on to the NFL. We'll see if both are first-round picks. Nabers pretty much locked in, and somebody's going to draft Brian Thomas. I don't know. I'm taking a lot of heat for being skeptical on some of the Dynasty shows, so...
Oh, they will absolutely be. They will both be first round picks, 100%.
Regardless, LSU has to replace that production along with their quarterback, and they have an extremely talented wide receiver room to try to do it with. Depending on what recruiting service that you follow, they have somewhere between 3 and 4 4-star wide receivers coming in as well, plus 2 big time transfers coming in. So it is extremely crowded. Who are you paying attention to, not only for their wide receiver one, but also the wide receiver two role that's been extremely productive for LSU historically?
John, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, sure. Crash, I mean, the, it to you. No, you're good. I was actually looking something up, but you know, the big name is Kyren Lacy. Like, people are like all over that. But I don't know. I'm not falling in love with him. I'm honestly not falling in love with anyone. And honestly, I'm not a Garrett Nussmeier fan, so I don't even know if we should truly care, even if like we can decide which wide receiver is going to be the best. I feel like there's going to be such a massive drop off from Jaden Daniels last year to Garrett Nussmeier this year that I don't even know if we can truly care. But like, people are really like all over Kyren Lacy and CJ Daniels. And I don't know about Andy, but I'm really not a big fan of either one. And I think I saw an article saying that Shelton Sampson was like taking a step forward, but not quite ready. And like this and that, like, that's not what I want to hear from a second year player. So I don't know. I'm kind of like all out on this offense in general, except for the running backs. Love the running backs, but I don't know. Maybe they'll just run all the time. Who knows?
That sounds LSU teams of old.
That's literally like the last sentence I put is like, the whole offense is a bit of a mystery, and I'm not investing too highly in anybody except for, you know, Caleb Jackson and the running back room there. And I would just echo the CJ Daniels caution and just caution people in general, because I know he has been a popular pick. You know, you catch 1,000 yards and then you end up at LSU after they've got this vacuum of production in the wide receiver room. You're like, oh, well, that's a no brainer. Of course, the 1,000 yard receiver is going to show up and obviously take over that room and dominate. But spring reports have shown him on the second team. I know that it's possible there's a learning curve there with him being new to the system. But they've got Kyren Lacy, Chris Hilton, and Aaron Anderson running on the first team from the spring reports that I've been reading. So,
and if Aaron Anderson is running in first team, that kind of shows you how bad everything is, because the dude isn't even a freaking wide receiver. He was a running back.
Fair enough on that. Just kind of examining the wide receiver transfer trend, because that always gets us so excited whenever we see a wide receiver who had big time production, no matter where they were, or had a big time star rating, no matter where they were, and they transfer. All of our eyes go immediately to that player. But I don't think, in terms of the more competitive wide receiver rooms, whenever these players transfer in, I don't know if I can really name one that's actually like emerged and solidified themselves as the wide receiver one. The only time we really ever see that is whenever one of these guys comes into a room that has absolutely nobody else in it, and somebody has to catch passes. So why not somebody who caught passes, a lot of passes at a different school?
I can think of one who went from like a group of five to a power five and had a successful career. And this is recently, of course, and that's Jacob Cowing, who went from, I think, UTEP or Texas San Antonio to Arizona. Now, I don't know if you could consider him the wide receiver one, especially not last year. Tet McMillan was clearly the wide receiver one there. But maybe two years ago, maybe you could argue that he was. But aside from that, you know, there's a lot of horror stories. You got Isaiah Nayor, who went to Texas and then obviously had some injury problems, but then didn't do anything. The other transfers that you hear about where it did work out are guys like Jameson Williams, who was a very highly recruited player, who went from Ohio State, which is a blue blood program, to Alabama, and that worked out. Jordan Addison, who was a Biletnikoff winner, went to USC, and of course it worked out. It seems like this going from the group of five, or whatever you're going to call it now, to the power five is just not as foolproof as people may think it is. I know it's tantalizing to do that because it's, you know, it just seems like it's a easy pick to make, but I don't know if it's as safe or you know, the value's as secure as people think.
Yeah, I mean, not only just for your C2C leagues, they're not really producing, but it's even tougher to view them as legitimate Devy prospects. I think Tez Walker's probably as close as we have recently, but I don't think anybody's too excited about him. I know some people are getting more since he ran a really good time, but I don't know. He's going to probably be a third round pick, not in Devy depleted drafts. In Devy depleted, we'll see if he sneaks into the second round, but there's not a ton of really exciting players from that. I know Dante Thornton, last year, everybody was super excited about what he was going to do at Tennessee. And I don't know. I guess what we're seeing is it takes time to learn a new offense, especially at the wide receiver position. And I guess just scheming up touches doesn't produce the volume stats that we're all hoping for.
I will say I have CJ Daniels well over Kyren Lacy. So if you were going to choose one, I would go with him, even though, you know, like Andy said, you know, the step up is always difficult and everything. We can't guarantee anything. And he's a graduate transfer. So, I mean, he's old as hell, but I have heard a little bit of hype for Kyle Parker, a redshirt freshman. So whereas I'm saying like, maybe somebody will give you Shelton Sampson for free, but they probably invested decent draft capital, whether it was Devy or C2C. They probably aren't doing that. But Kyle Parker, you can probably get for absolutely free, whether waivers, draft, whatever. And so I would say I don't feel great about any of these players. And so give me the guy that's the unknown that's getting a little bit of hype right now. And that's how I feel about LSU. But I'm telling you, I do not love how this offense is going to be this year. Like, it's not going to be last year's LSU. It's not even going to be 2 years ago LSU. They might actually be, like, legit bad this year.
Always music to my ears hearing an SEC team scoring struggle. I don't even think Tennessee plays LSU this year, but it makes me smile a little bit. And just because that's our last show, just for you, John, going to give you all one more intro before we wrap up the show and we talk about an yes. End of an era and what's to come next. Stay tuned. Dang, even with the 30 seconds, Andy couldn't get back to the chair.
I was going to say, he's losing it, man. Not as fast as
I made a last second decision. Time. I was like, do I need another drink? I was like, yeah, let's do it. It's the last episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, I'm going to relinquish the floor to you all to talk about some exciting things that you all are going to be coming out with soon. And just to inform everybody who's been watching, everybody who's subscribing through the giveaway, this is not the end of Full Tilt. We are going to go into a little bit of a hibernation, going to figure out what's going to be the next step for us. There's been so many efforts from the old Full Tilt flagship show that moved over to Fantasy Points. So we'll see what kind of content's going to be showing up on the channel, but be a little bit of a hibernation. Doesn't mean hit the unsubscribe button, just means wait and see. And then of course some great content will be coming your way, but it sounds like you two have some pretty exciting stuff coming up, some good things in the works. So give you all a platform to start hyping it up.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So everyone's kind of moved on from Full Tilt, and I guess that's not a bad thing per se. It was started by Thomas Tipple and Jacob Sanderson and I cannot remember
Big Billy.
Yes. And, you know, and they created this podcast, and then obviously we were an offshoot of that and everything. So I don't want this to be a bad thing. I don't want this to be and it's definitely no animosity or anyone's leaving because we're mad or anything like that, because it's definitely not that. It's just everyone's kind of taken a step forward. Everyone's, you know, moved up, and we have Tommy T full time at Fantasy Points now. We have
hey, congratulations we have, to him.
Of course, congrats to Tommy T. He earned it. He absolutely earned every second of it. But because of that, you know, he can't focus on the podcast like he used to. And then, you know, we have Lucas joining him over at Fantasy Points doing the podcast with them. It just kind of, Andy and I were sitting there and we're like, you know what? Like, we're the only thing going on here. And, you know, like maybe at some point we kind of need to take our next step forward too. And, you know, like see if we can't grow the audience, do that kind of thing. And like I said, I never want it to be an animosity thing or anything like that. Cause it was definitely not that. We're all happy. It's all love here. But Andy and I started talking. We started talking to some people. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but you know what? I'm me, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. We are joining the JWB podcast crew, and we are actually going to be their Devi pod, their C2C pod, college football. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. It's going to be called Devi University, and we're going to take you to school. You know, that's what we're going to do. So we haven't figured everything out yet. We're going to be doing our first pod here in a couple weeks, I believe, maybe in a week. We'll obviously post all that kind of good stuff and everything, but we're obviously hoping that we can keep some of the listeners that we already had. You know, hopefully you loved us and you loved our quirks and everything else, but you know, join us over at the JWB podcast, obviously subscribe to them, do all that because we will be there very soon. And, you know, it was just, hey, we need to take that next step just like everyone else has. And here we are. I don't know if Andy has any other words about it.
No, not much to add to what John said. I, of course, echo all of his sentiments. It's all love here. I appreciate Thomas for reaching out to me a couple of years ago to even start this Devi podcast. He's just like, hey, we're looking to expand to Devi, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I think that would be fun. And it has been fun. I met John and I met Lucas, and you guys, I consider you guys, you know, great friends. So I don't expect that to stop just because, you know, we're not going to be doing a show all the time. So yeah, I'm excited. I, you know, John is more familiar with the JWB guys than I am, but I'm excited to work with them. And I'm, you know, at the end of the day, all I like to do is talk college football. I don't need to feel like it's a job or feel like I'm being paid or anything like that. Like, I just want to talk about football. And, you know, as long as I've got a space to do that, then I'll be happy.
And that's what we're going to do. And honestly, we've talked about different structures and formats and things that we're going to do that, you know, should keep it exciting. And, you know, even just getting into, not to say that we never did it here, but like even getting a little more into like C2C and stuff like that, you know, that maybe we hadn't done as much in the past. And then, you know, honestly, even like getting into Dynasty a little bit more, because, you know, it's like part of Devi is playing Dynasty, but yet Dynasty or Devi shows hardly ever seem to talk about Dynasty in particular. So we're going to do a little bit of everything. And like I said, I hope everyone follows us over there. You know, this feed is going to go dormant for a little bit, at least. You know, who knows? Like, there might be something else in the future, but you know. But I hope everyone follows us over there, and we will be doing a pod very soon.
Yeah, like I said earlier, we are going to be revamping the Full Tilt YouTube. Don't fully know what it's going to look like yet, but this is not the end of Full Tilt. You will still be able to get great Full Tilt content. It's just, we got some stuff to figure out. All right. Congratulations to you all on going over to JWB. I look forward to seeing what that content's going to be. And as y'all have said, it's been all love until we talk about Baker Mayfield. Then it starts to get a little murky, or we start to talk, yeah, or we start to talk about Lamar Jackson. Then some claws come out. But that's okay. And Andy, I'm only slightly offended you didn't take a 4-hour detour to come to my wedding. But, you know,
I had my kids, man. I had my kids with me.
Yeah, you don't want
that. Like, where are we going?
Yeah, you don't want that.
Fair enough. And John, my family that's in Tampa, they did not end up taking the train. They deemed that 22 hours was way too long for a train ride. Yeah, to
that's
come
a wild.
Yeah, they switched over to a flight. So yeah, it's been so much fun being able to do this. We were able to get pretty much one full recruiting class from the time they were freshmen until they've been NFL prospects. So that was a lot of fun getting to see the players that we were following, whenever the show initially started, whenever we had a different format and I was hidden by the Full Tilt logo back there producing for you all. That's a good time. Lots of happy memories. Made a lot of good friends, a lot of really loyal viewers. We really do appreciate that. People watching the content that we put out, like, yeah, we're going to talk about football no matter what. But what makes it really enjoyable is whenever our insights and us trying to be funny, or some of us trying to be funny. I think you all are actually funny. But whenever people can take enjoyment in the time and effort that we put into this, that's what makes it all worth it for us, is being able to see that feedback from you all. And that's always been just so great. We've had lots of really good guests, especially this spring, Josh Chevalier, Brandon Lejeune, and I know we had several C2C people. I can't even name all of them that ended up coming on the show. And I'm assuming you all are going to continue to have good guests. And who knows, we might have to get the three best beards in fantasy football back together at some point in time. We'll see.
Oh, absolutely. We're definitely doing that. And it's not that you're not funny. It's that, you know, you screwed up the name so much that people didn't know who you were talking about. So, like, it's, you know, they're scratching their head while they're trying to figure out the joke. You know, that doesn't make you not funny. It's just confusing.
I'm going to have to tell my wife that now. She says that I'm not funny at all, but I at least laugh at all of her jokes. So it makes it work. That might be what's been happening here, though. Close, but no cigar. You know what? In honor of our last show, John or Andy, do you all want to be the ones to send us out, and we'll get our very last intro done?
Ooh, the last intro, man. We had a lot of fun with that. That mostly started because, you know, I get drunk during most podcasts, and one day I just decided, hey, we're gonna do as many intros as we can possibly do, and I think we did six at one point. You know, we did a lot, and yet people still listened, which is pretty awesome. So I do appreciate that. You know, I honestly appreciate you, Lucas. You did a lot of work in the background. Like you said, you were in the background before you truly became the host and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, I do appreciate you with all the work that you've done on and behind the scenes and everything. And obviously Andy, you know, like, we're sticking together, but I appreciate him. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for Andy, because, like, I don't know anything about college football, or at least I didn't. Like, everything I know about college football is probably because of Andy, and, you know, unfortunately, or even a little bit from Lucas as well. But Andy really just, like, he puts that knowledge out there, and I'm, you know, like, I'm still learning to this day. So, like, I want to say I appreciate you both, and this has been a lot of fun. This is not goodbye. This is moving on. But, like, I will say, in the words of Tommy T, the creator of this podcast, the creator of the show, creator of the brand, whatever you want to call it. I was talking to him the other day, and he said it was always something that was supposed to be, we move on from, something we move on from. It was never supposed to be the end all be all. And so, like, here we are. You and Tommy T have moved on to Fantasy Points. Jacob Sanderson's doing his great stuff with, you know, with his Substack and everything. Like, you know, there's so much going on. Exactly. You know, Billy is in grad school, and you know, like, everyone's kind of doing their own.
Dr. Billy now.
Dr. Billy. I'm so sorry. Dr. Billy. I'm going to call him Dr. Bill, because Dr. Billy seems a little weird, but Dr. Bill, you know, has moved on. He's doing great things as well. And so, like, it was never supposed to be the end all be all. It's something that we move on and grow from. And that's what we're all doing. So, like, I don't know how else to say it beyond I'm happy. We're all happy that, like, we can continue this on. And obviously I hope you guys continue to listen and learn from Andy and I, and also, you know, Lucas and Tommy T on the Fantasy Points pod.
Nice. Fantastic. Yep. Then. All right. If y'all don't have anything else, send it out one last time. You all have a fantastic night. It has been so much fun. Make sure you're checking out JWB, where John and Andy will be very soon. And of course, be checking out Dynasty Points over on the Fantasy Points Network. So Until next time, we are out.